So welcome to real-time web applications with SignalR. So SignalR is one of those technologies that, if you haven't used it yet, you're going to like working with it. And the reason why you're going to like working with it is because, on the most part, the things that I've tried, it just works. And that's sort of nice when, you know, new technology comes out and the things you apply it to, they just seem to happen. And it's cool because it's real time. So, you know, in real time, the apps that you're developing are updating in front of you. So has anyone here played with SignalR yet? They're, you know, SignalR gurus and boffins. Yep. So a few people, but, you know, on the whole, not really. So did anyone go to the earlier session today about SignalR? So a few people? A fair few people. So you guys are probably already experts. Okay, so I'd like to start with a bit of a story, because I like stories. This sort of happened to me recently, and it's just, you know, maybe a, if you had to explain SignalR to someone, you know, I sort of come across this analogy, you know, just being put on the spot, I guess. So at my house at the moment, I've got a builder over, and he's trying to fix my retaining wall, right, because it's, you know, it's kind of crumbling away, and it's, you know, at risk of collapsing on the neighbours. You know, not a good way to, you know, settle any score with a neighbour. So this builder here, and he's fixing this wall. And I was on my way to tech ed, and, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, proud of my wall and my work and my, you know, two poles and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, yeah, man, that's it's really good, but, you know, I've got to go because, you know, I've got to get to a conference and I've got to talk. And he's like, oh, what's your talk on? So, and then I thought to myself, hang on, a builder has just asked me what my talk is on at tech ed. So I'm like, okay, I need to, you know, kind of dumb this down. So I'm like, well, you know, when you're browsing the internet, right, and you've got the web page up, and, you know, you've got information there. So if you want to see new information, you've got to hit F5. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. So what I'm talking about, the technology SignalR, is like this underlying technology that allows the server to sort of write that information back to the client, right? So you don't need to hit F5 anymore. The information is just going to appear in front of you. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm not really into computers. So there you go. But, you know, I thought it's kind of an interesting analogy that, you know, it's good when you can actually explain what a technology does, like even to somebody who's not that familiar with computers, because this is really enriching the lives of you know, your users. It really is, it does facilitate that. Okay, so let's get on to the agenda. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is I'm just going to go into, very briefly, getting started with SignalR. So if you didn't go to the talk earlier today, what you can do to get started in an instant. Nothing too exciting, but it's you know, good to know what the first steps are. We've all got existing applications, so you know, all the things that you've written. So what I'm going to try to do is take an application that I've written and extend it with the capability to do the real-time updates. Because I think that it's more relevant than kind of seeing, you know, sliding boxes on the screen. Yeah, that's cool, but, I mean, you know, if I've got an app, what do I need to do to get SignalR into it? So there's some really good sort of libraries and tools that you'll be able to see that, you know, I hope you can sort of pick that up and implement that into your own apps. And some advanced scenarios. So I've got my web app, got the server. I'm going to try to integrate that with a rich client, and I'll leave it till I get to it to announce what that rich client might be. I think it's, you know, it's good for the managers out there. You know, this is going to be something that you might be interested in. It's going to be my pathway to management, I think. And then let's have a talk about performance and scaling. So we all want to know, yep, my app is successful, it's great, but, you know, is it going to support, you know, the growth of my app and the growth of my users? Sort of makes sense. That's good. So why SignalR? So I've already talked about the story before, you know, I'm trying to explain it to an end user who doesn't really, you know, kind of get computers, but, you know, he has that experience, and, you know, he wants that information to update without sort of, you know, having to bash F5. So SignalR is great when you've ever been in the situation where you've been sitting there bashing the F5 key, right? So it promotes the efficiency and the idea that data is real time. So those users sitting in front of their computers, they no longer just have to see that static site. And equally, the client web browser doesn't have to sort of, you know, sit there polling the server. I mean, it does if it doesn't support WebSockets, but, you know, we kind of get into that. But it's not going to, you know, use all that bandwidth polling the, you know, the server when it doesn't have to. So it's kind of that new abstraction that supports the real time. So the story, another story. So it's good to start with stories, I think, from a customer site that I was on recently, right? So we started out developing this site, and it's an e-commerce site, and you go in there and you purchase digital codes. So all of a sudden, we've got all of these integration points. And the integration point, the first one is, I want to purchase, so I've got to hit a payment gateway. Okay? And then after I hit a payment gateway, we've got to go and hit another server to redeem the digital code. So we do that as a second step. And then we want to email the customer to say, your order's been successful, so we kind of got to hit another integration point as well. And this is kind of like a big workflow or sequence of things that happens before it can kind of, you know, complete the workflow and tell the user, yes, you've successfully purchased the code and here it is. So what are they doing? They've just hit checkout and they're on that page. They're sitting there watching this little spinning circle. I don't know what's going on, right? There's probably messages bouncing around on the server everywhere doing all of this work, but as a user, I'm stuck there watching this like a GIF or something. Like it's not a very good experience. So what we thought we could do, because you know, we have this reliable messaging architecture on the server, so you know it's using queues and all that kind of stuff. And then we thought, well, after we complete one stage, why don't we send them a message and say, hey, let's update them. Let's, you know, here's a progress message. We've, you know, your order has now been, you've successfully paid for your order. We're just getting your code. Now, after we've got your code, codes have been generated. You know, not much longer now. And for some reason, you know, the exchange server is a little bit slow. Maybe we could just send them another update that say, hey, things are taking a little bit longer than expected. So we can actually, you know, let them know what's going on using SignalR. But it didn't end there. So because we were so confident in SignalR's ability to manage those connections, so when I go to a new page, we had that page reconnect it back up to the hub. And when it reconnected up, we were so confident that we said, you can sit here and watch the spinning circle and we'll update you about what's going on. Or keep browsing, go to the news section, have a look at other products, and we'll alert you when your order has processed. So they could be on the news page reading the blog, and you know, we basically set a little toast notification up the top that says, your order is now successfully fulfilled. I mean, that to me is a lot better user experience. We're, you know, giving them the freedom to do something else. And then just updating them when that whole thing is complete. So that's the kind of, you know, the vision that I have of the future is that, you know, you don't have to sit there anymore. We can just, you know, let you do other things and just update you in real time when those things are ready and change. So just to recap on that. So anytime the user needs to refresh the screen, it's the obvious one. I think I've done that one to death. Dashboards and monitoring. So you have a dashboard is connected to your e-commerce system. And maybe that can update in real time about the orders that have gone through or the errors that have occurred. So SignalR can do those types of things as well. Collaborative anything. Two people are sitting in front of the computer and they need to communicate somehow. How do we facilitate that? SignalR. Job progress. So as things are progressing, we can send them those updates and that information to say, yes, we've done the checkout, and now we're just getting the codes. And concurrency management. So maybe it doesn't seem obvious at first, and if you're sort of thinking to yourself, yeah, your apps are cool, and I just sort of write these forms over data apps, what about using it for real-time concurrency management? So, you know, the existing things might be optimistic concurrency and pessimistic concurrency and, you know, the last-in wins, those types of things where, you know, somebody always comes worst off, right? So, you know, optimistic concurrency when the second guy, he gets the error because somebody's updated the record. He's like, oh, just lost my changes. I mean, why not tell him while he's on that screen that, you know, user A has already updated this record. You know, John has updated this field before you. Do you want to accept John's changes? Yes. And then updates the field. I mean, that's, you know, it's sort of a much nicer experience because we're telling other people, you know, when those changes occur. And gaming. You can use SignalR for games because it has, you know, that higher performance. I think one of the games I've seen in a previous talk was Shooter, which is the SignalR team's online. It's like asteroids, you shoot each other. Okay, so how to get started. There's a few core concepts that I thought I'd cover in getting started. So the first one is SignalR hosts. So how do you host SignalR? So it's host agnostic. And if you went to the earlier session, they went into that a little bit in more depth. So you can basically host it in ASP.NET, or you don't have to. You can host it with a standalone self-hosted instance, which runs on Owen. So I think the example was you can have it in an Azure worker role in the cloud and just run your SignalR Owen host inside that. So it will work like that. It's not tied to any platform. So hubs and connections. So these guys are kind of the bread and butter of your SignalR apps. So the low level, there is connections. So connections are basically, I send strings up and down, and you have to deal with those strings. It doesn't sort of provide, anything nicer around that. It allows you, though, to broadcast to all clients, groups or individuals. So when a user on the website connects to the SignalR Hub, you can add them to a group. So if they were on, some particular page, you can add them to groups about, that product changing, so you don't have to broadcast the message to everyone. So that segregation can sort of, it would help performance as well. And also, yes, the connection, reconnection, and disconnection semantics. So the low level just handles, somebody disconnects from the internet, but then the internet comes back and it reconnects up to the hub. Okay, the hubs, they're a little bit higher level, and this is probably where you'll spend most of your time. So hubs are client server and server client. What does that mean? So on the server, I can send a message through my hub and message all my connected clients. And on the client, I can call a method on the server, and it will message all the clients as well. So I can call that method on either the server or the client. And it also handles the automatic client proxy generation. So I know this space is changing a little bit, it seems, in future versions. But if you specify method, like public methods in your hub on the server, it handles the proxy generation of that on the client. So, you've got a little bit of syntax. Syntactic nicety? I don't know. It sort of handles that proxy generation on the client. Okay, so try it for yourself. What do you have to do? See that animation? Looks like I was typing quick. Install the package Microsoft ASP.NET SignalR sample. And what does it include? So the main things to look for when that includes things in SignalR, if you get a JavaScript error, why is it not working? You need jQuery. You need to see if that's included. You need the SignalR jQuery client. And then there's this guy. So if you're using the automatic proxy generation and hubs, this is kind of like a pseudo route that SignalR registers. And when you include that, it will automatically scan your code and generate the proxies for you. And that's the URL that you include. So they'll all be there. Demo, let's have a look at getting started with SignalR. Okay, just make sure my computer is on. Sorry, just getting the number. This looks like it. Okay, I'm using a trackpad, so it might look slightly uncoordinated. Yep, so new MVC4 project, just going to make a new one of those. Doesn't really matter for the sample which one of these you pick. I'm just going to say Web API. And the reason that it is taking a long time, if you look down in the corner, it's actually adding NuGet packages. Oops, didn't want to do that very well. Okay, so I've got the text on super large, which is going to make it really hard for me, but really easy for you guys to read. And I've changed something. There we go. So I'm going to go to the package management console. And luckily, I've already typed it in. Okay, so it's resolving a whole bunch of dependencies, including the ones from Owen, which I talked about. Now we're adding them all. So if you went back to the office today and you typed in, SignalR.sample, and you went to build and run the app, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to all magically just work. Well, that's what I thought too until I tried it. It doesn't all magically just work. It all magically just worked in version 1.1.2, but Signaler has been incremented to 1.1.3, and the references have not been updated. So what I'm going to do is do a quick search. Oops. Get my search over here. 1.1.2. Okay, so this is a stock ticker file. Okay, so if we look over here, I'll try to zoom in a little bit. So we've got signalr.sample, so that's what the new get package adds. So this is all the sample code that shows you how to make those hubs, and also the client code that allows you to connect up to it. So if you go into here, which is what I have, and there's 1.1.2, which doesn't exist anymore. It's now 1.1.3. So as soon as I save that, the sample is going to work. Hopefully. It's a demo, so they'll probably increment it just before I come on stage. Okay, I'm just going to look in here. No JavaScript errors. That's how I found it last time. And I think it always makes sense for me to go and grab both Chrome and IE, just to be fair. And there we go. Okay, so the sample is now working almost straight away. So what's it doing? Personally, I think the sample might be a little bit overcomplicated. The next demo I have, I think it's done a lot more simple and a lot less code. But I guess they're sort of showing, you know, a lot of the things that you can do with SignalR. So obviously the includes we've already sort of talked about, so the JavaScript client, the hub client. Let's have a look at the hub itself, so the server-side code. Okay, you can give it a name, you can give it the hub name at the top if you don't like the default, otherwise you've got to refer to it as stock ticker hub. It's grabbing an instance, and these methods here will end up in the proxy that's generated on the client. Okay, so you don't have to do anything, they're just public. And then it's going to do a broadcast using all of this broadcast code. I'm not going to go through this because, I mean, the sample's there and you can go and sort of paste through it at your own leisure. But the next demo is, I think, a lot more exciting. Does anyone want to dissect this anymore or any other parts that you want to see? No, I think we'll go through it later as well. Cool, let's go back to the slides. Number 7. Got slides. Yes, getting started with SignalR. Now we all know how to do it. Does everyone know how to do it? Yeah. Adding SignalR to an existing app. So this is what I've been talking about since I've been up here. And I think it's the most important because it's a great technology, and I think everyone should look at adding it to their apps, and you've all got existing apps. You know, how often do you get to start on a Greenfields project? Has anyone done that in the last month? Like, 5. So we've all got a lot of existing apps out there that we need to support. Okay, so this is what I built. This is my existing app. I'm a big user of Agile dashboards, I admit it. So I built an Agile dashboard without SignalR first, which is, you know, it's not very collaborative when I'm, you know, there by myself dragging my tasks around. I'm like, yeah, use this for my home. My wife doesn't like that. So what I thought I'd do is I want to come in, I want to add SignalR to my Agile dashboard. So I want to get people involved in my Agile dashboard. It could be the next big thing. You never know. But I'm going to give you all you guys the code, so I mean, it can be everybody's next big thing. So what am I using in my existing app? So Jirandle.js. Is anyone using Jirandle? Has anyone heard of Jirandle? 5. Okay, so Knockout. Has anyone heard of Knockout? Come on, I'll see more hands. Okay, a lot of people. It's been around for a while. So when you've been coding your Knockout apps, you've kind of got to the point where you're like, I really want to, you know, separate some view logic. I want to load in a view fragment, right? I want a little bit of an application structure. Have you ever got that feeling? Because, you know, the one kind of single-page Knockout app kind of gets really big, right? It kind of gets a bit unmaintainable. Jirandle kind of gives you that infrastructure for writing a better single-page app. So that's what its job is, and it works really well with Knockout. So it gives you the ability to sort of load in different views and widgets, and anyway, I'm not going to go on about it, but it's really good. You should also check that out. I'm just using that in my single page app to give me the structure, but it doesn't matter what you're using. The techniques still apply. Postal. Heard of Postal? One. And me, so that's two. So what Postal is it's JavaScript client-side pub-sub, right? Pub-sub, event aggregators, come on. It's a pretty common pattern. And what it allows you to do is really sort of separate those concerns. So when interesting things happen in your app, so maybe a really simple example is the user has clicked the button because I want to add something to my cart. So what you could do in JavaScript normally is, you know, you could write the JavaScript to kind of, you know, do an Ajax call and then add things to the cart and update the UI. Or if you use something like Postal, you don't do it in that event clip. What you do is you sort of raise a message and say, request add this item to the cart. So it goes into the pub sub. And then all of these other guys are listening. So this guy who cares about adding things to the cart gets the message. And he just adds it into the cart. And another guy also receives the message, and he's interested in Ajaxing the server. So he just sends an Ajax to the server. So it gives you a lot better separation of concerns in your apps. And it also, which is something that I like, it really promotes that idea that things should be written in an asynchronous fashion in JavaScript. So you don't have a lot of procedural code because you kind of, you know, you're used to that, sort of event-driven behavior, and the fact that the result could be asynchronous. So when that thing is processed, maybe somebody sends something back that says, okay, task added response. And that comes back, and whoever's interested in the response can update the UI and say, success. So it really gives you really good asynchronous behavior as well. And Toastar. Are we all using Toastar yet? One. Okay, we've got a few more. So Toastar, if you're not familiar with that, it's just a tiny little utility library, if you like the Windows 8 app Toasts up in the side. So it's just a JavaScript library and a little bit of CSS that does that. So it really simply just allows you, you know, to give a little toast in the side of the window that says, success, added to cart. Yeah, so really handy. Demo, adding in hubs and responding to change. So I've got my Agile dashboard. What I need to do now is add some SignalR in so that other people can use it too. It's not just on my computer. All right, so what I've done here, oops, I'm just going to get this up and running first. Quit. And let's try to switch over to, oops, oh no, I hit the wrong one. Is that me? Okay. So what I've done is I recorded this as a screencast last night. And the reason why I've done that is because there's a lot of typing involved, and I don't like typing on stage. So what I'm going to do, this is my second invisible self, is going to type, and I think it's going to run a lot more smoothly. But yeah, we can definitely open the app up and have a look at the end. So what I've done is, let's just have a look at the app. Is that somewhat legible? Can you all see that? Everyone can read what's going on the screen? We had a little bit of problem with resolutions before. Okay, so what we're going to do is have a look at the app in action. So I refresh that. I go into TechEd tasks because there's a lot of things to do for a TechEd presentation. And what I can do is I can drag these tasks from to do into doing and doing. Okay, drag more. One and done. Didn't even do that one. Then I can go up the top using the HTML5 content editable attribute and just edit the title. And I've also got a bootstrap modal where I can edit the description of the task. So those are the things that I want to, you know, relay across to my other clients. Okay, drag that guy back. It looks like I've just deleted one as well. Cool, that's what I want to do. So what do I need to do that? The first thing I thought I'd do, just to get everyone familiar with Postal, after we have a look. So there's the includes. So you know there's nothing magical about it. It's the things in there that I said would be in there. using the require JS to kind of load in all those dependencies. And looking at the app. Okay, and board, this is the main view. So like I said, Jirandle's giving me that ability to separate my app out into multiple views. So that's what I'm starting with. I mean, there's no Signal R code in this project yet. So it's very, you know, going solo, agile. So here's an example of Postal. So I've got a Postal channel, and what I do is I just publish an event into it. Okay, so move task request. So basically, when somebody drops the task, they drag it from one column and they drop it in another one, it just raises this move task request. It doesn't do anything yet, it just says, hey, this changed. And this is all local, this is not going to the server, this is using Postal. So in Postal, I want to use Toaststar to, you know, have a little message display in the top of the page that says that something has been moved to another column. So all I need to do is subscribe to that event. So I'm going to subscribe to a notification. So notifications are raised when, you know, that event is subsequently completed. So somebody else listens for the drag event, and then somebody else says, okay, this has been moved, raise a notification. So I listen to that particular event. I have a function, delegate, and all I'm going to do is pass that into Toaststar. And just to save you watching the typing, I'm going to paste in another two so we can do notifications, errors, and success. Okay, so just, you know, a few different color message boxes up the top is basically all it equates to. So all I've done, I've not changed anything else in the app. All I'm doing is subscribing to three new events because things are getting raised. Now, when I sort of drag things around, I get that message box appear in the side. We can all see that up in the corner. So that's it. That's all I've done. So that's why I think using this pub sub on the client is, you know, gives you that advantage because it really, you know, it separates those concerns and you can kind of add and extend the behavior as your app grows. Okay, so I've just loaded that up in IE, and what I want to do now is I want to get that drag event across to the other client. So let's do that. What do we need to do that? So we come down here, and I've got a folder called signaling in my infrastructure folder in my web app. What I'm going to do is add a class. I'm going to call my class. Sorry. I'm going to call my class taskBoardHub. TaskBoardHub. Okay, new taskBoardHub, and he needs to extend from hub. And this is, I think, like almost the most minimal amount of code that you need to make a hub work, which is not much. I could add a name attribute up the top, but I'm just going to go with the default in this case, just to make it less. I'm going to make public. I'm going to make public. Public void task moved. Okay, task moved. And he has two parameters, int the task that moved and the column that task was moved to. So they're just two little bits of information that I want to relay. And that's going to let everyone else know, you know, which task to move where, basically. So what I'm going to do is say this.clients.others. So all other clients apart from the caller, and others, as you saw with the mouse over, is a dynamic. So I can type anything I want after that, and SignalR is going to relay that information. It's got a very dynamic API. So you can use interfaces as well, but I think the dynamic nature actually suits what you're doing. So I've typed task moved and passing in both of those parameters. So what I need to do then is obviously respond to that change on the client for the task moved event. I'm just going to make signalr events.js, and I make it in a C# class because it's easier to do it through to a sharper. Okay, so I'm going to define a required JS module. You can use revealing module pattern or whatever you like to use in your solutions, but I mean, I like to use required JS or the AMD pattern. So first thing I've done is I've required in the signalr hubs as a dependency, so required JS is going to load that for me. You can include it in the page with a JavaScript include if you like. And then we're going to define our JavaScript module. So what I need to do is get a reference to the postal channel. So I'm just using the default channel. I'm not sort of segregating my app any more than that. And then I need an instance or a reference to the task hub. So this is a guy that exists on the server. So $.connection.taskBoardHub is his name. Cool. So I've got both of those things, and I just need to, you know, put them both together. So that's the same name there. Yep. But you'll notice that it's not capitalized. They've been good citizens in JavaScript and sort of, you know, conform to the JavaScript naming conventions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to subscribe to that drop event that I showed you at the start. So move task request. I want to subscribe to that. So paste that in there and have my delegate. So I'm just going to call it D, easier to type. And what I want to do is I want to put that guy and tell the other clients about what just happened. So I want to tell everyone else that a task was just moved. Okay, so taskhub.server, so I'm hitting that server method. And task moved and passing in the parameters that I've raised. So like I said before, so one is the task ID. And the other one is two column ID. So move this task to that column. Okay, so the other half of this is on the clients receiving the message. They need to kind of replay that message locally so that, you know, we can kick off the process to get the UI updated. So this is extending the signal our client. So when the client method task moved is called, pass it to this function. Does that make sense? Yep, pass it to this function. So I'm extending the signal our client or client-side code. So when that happens, I want to pass it back to my postal service. Postal service, makes sense. So post the move task event. So one is subscribing to things that happen locally. One is subscribing that to things that happen coming from the server. So subscribe to that. And that guy is just a normal JSON object. Yeah, so pass in the task ID and two column ID. Yeah, and I'm going to add at the end of this just one more parameter as well. So I basically want to know that this guy has come in from the client, in from the server. So I'm just going to have an incoming parameter in this object. The local ones are not going to have it. So what I don't want to happen is the other guy gets the message and he sends it straight back up to the server, and that's not going to be good. So over here, I'm just going to say if it's incoming or if it's not incoming, then send it to the server. Okay, so I've subscribed to the server. I'm subscribing to the events happening locally, and I've put them both together. And then the final most important step, which is just a few fat fingers there. Yep. We have to start the signal R connection. So start the client connecting to the cloud. If you forget this line, it's just not going to work. And you'll be sitting there, it's like, it's no syntax errors, but it's just not connecting. What's going on? Maybe because you didn't start the hubs connection. So that line there does it. And I can add a return in there, basically because it returns a promise. Okay, so it's asynchronous, it returns a promise, so you could extend on a delegate on that to do something else after the connection starts. So the final thing I need to do is in my bootstrapping code in require.js is include that module, so require.js is going to now, you know, import that JavaScript file, and that's it. So if all goes well, and I'm pretty sure it will, I run the app up, and we can go into TechEd tasks. They're all still there. Get IE back up, just to make sure it's cross-browser, right? Okay, so if I drag that across there, then everything updates as it should. And because I've already got those toast notifications coming up, they also, you know, play and come up when you drag the tasks across on the other browser as well. So we've got, you know, like a lot more collaborative experience, you know, based on that sort of asynchronous event raising behavior. So the next thing I want to do, obviously, is update all the text in the title. So when you change the description of the column, we want it to update on, you know, the other clients, and of course the same for the tasks. Not going to bore you with me typing all of this. So what I thought I'd do instead is just sort of paste in that extra code. So very, very similar. You see me do it once, and this is doing the same thing, but it's doing it for just a few more events that can happen in the app. Okay, so the same on the client-side hub, so we just need to respond to those events on the client as well. So the same thing, it's just going to publish them, you know, straight into the client-side channel, and things are just going to, the appropriate delegate is going to, you know, fire and just do that one action. So it keeps everything with a single responsibility. Okay, so we've got property modified events. And that little star star character on the end there means that that guy is subscribing to anything that ends with, you know, with a star. Okay, so now if we refresh those two pages. Refresh. Okay, now when I drag it across, it still works. That's a good sign. And when I type something in the column, it updates. And also the same over here. So now I've got the descriptions updating in real time. So this is how these agile boards should work, in my opinion. Like, you just type stuff in and it automatically updates everywhere, you know, in real time. That's collaboration, right? None of this, you know, I've got to commit to an action. You can also delete it and it sort of immediately disappears. Probably good to have a confirmation there, but and that's it. So yeah, that's demo one. Come on, is that not kind of cool? Come on. So what do you guys think of that? Does it look easy to do? Raise a hand. Does it look easy to do? I mean, would you go back and you're like, yes, I'm confident in that I can go ahead and attempt to add signal art into my existing app? I think the answer should be yes, because it is not that hard. Security, that's important. Well, it works the same way as any other web application, because it is just, you know, a web request. So if you have, you know, authentication on your server, you've got cookies, all of that stuff is going to be respected because it's still HTTP. So nothing out of the ordinary. SignalR clients, doesn't matter what type of app you have, there's probably a client for you. Especially in the .NET space, I think there's very, very good coverage. So .NET 4.5, Silverlight 5, if that's still around. Store apps, Windows Phone apps. So portable apps, like portable libraries. And also MonoTouch, MonoDroid. And I think in Brady's session earlier, he mentioned iOS when they get time to write it. Who knows? I don't know. But yeah, they seem to be always expanding. So there's, you know, more and more libraries coming out all the time. It's everywhere. Rich client with SignalR. So another thing that the SignalR team have really stressed, and they've done a really good job of, is syntactical parity, right? So the C# code you write, if you put it next to the JavaScript code that you write, it looks very, very similar. So you don't need to learn a new syntax just because you're going to rich client. I'm just going to post a big blob onto the slide here, but it's not too bad. Okay, so the one at the top, so you still got that hub connection, and we had that in JavaScript as well. We've still got a hub proxy, which is the second line. Does this work? Second line there. And then we can still respond to the events in the same way. So obviously in C# we can have like the strongly typed parameter that's going to get passed to your, lambda expression, and we sort of give a name to the method that you want to get called. So down the bottom, like I said before, it's still asynchronous. So hub connection.start, and you can await that in C#. So because, you know, connections, they take time sometimes. Demo. So this is what I said. I'm on my way, I think, to management because I'm writing an Excel add-in. That's what you do, right? Isn't it? So I can, like, track everything in Excel. Oh, my. And I figured, right, that let's choose, the lowest common denominator. If I can make SignalR work in Excel, then can't it work anywhere? I mean, is that a fair assumption? It's pretty fair. Okay, so I'm just going to get that ready over here. I will learn by the end. And this is one that I really would have loved to do live as well, but so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an Excel 2013 workbook add-in. Right? Has anybody ever made one of those? This is my first one. Okay, so agilr.excelapp, and I'm putting it in the folder at the top called secret demo code. I don't know if you can read that, but it's not a secret anymore. Okay, so here's the Excel workbook. And we're starting a new project because I wanted to show that even if you're putting this as a client into, you know, even an existing application, it's not that hard. It's not oops, there's a start screen. It's not a lot of code to actually integrate it even into a rich client app. So down the bottom, I've just typed include the SignalR client. And what I'm going to do is include my portable core library, which just has my entities inside. Okay, so I've got both of those. Close that eventually. All right, so I've got this workbook. I don't know who names these. Okay, so I'm going to make a new class, and I called it Agility Client. So what this guy is just a bit of a helper to help me connect to my web server and pull down the appropriate data. So he's going to also contain my SignalR code as well. Okay. So first thing we need to do is I'm going to paste this in because just in the essence of time, I want to get through more stuff. Just to resolve those references. So I've got the hub connection and the iHub proxy. So I've still got both of those. So I'm just connecting to a specific host. Oops, some more references down the bottom. Yep, so still got the hub connection connecting to a host. Cool, even from Excel. And I've got the hub connection, the create proxy, task board, hub. So that's the same one that I've connected to just with JavaScript. Cool. And down here, so just using the syntax that we've shown. So when I call start, I want to subscribe to the methods that I'm interested in. So in this case, task property modified. So I want my Excel cell to update when I update the descriptions in the web. Okay, so I've just got a simple method there to drag down the current list of boards so I can display them initially. I'm just using, I'm not using events, I'm just storing the delegate and firing the delegate when I receive a particular command from the server or from SignalR. Okay, so let's integrate this into the Excel workbook. Same thing, just going to paste a bit of code in. You don't want to see me type that, trust me. Okay, so I'm going to fix up the references because they seem to be a little bit tricky with colliding namespaces. Okay, so I've got the client at the top, so I'm connecting to my local host, so you can't spam me during my session. And I'm also interested in the task modified property. And then I'm calling board refresh, which is going to get my current list of tasks. And then I'm calling the start method, which is going to start that hub connection. Then I'm going to listen to Excel's sheet changed event, and isn't that interesting? You've got to subscribe and unsubscribe from it each time it's called, or it's weird. I don't know why. Okay, I've run up the wrong application. Okay, let's boot up Excel. And there's an error. See, errors happen all the time, especially when you've got fat fingers. Okay, booting up Excel. There it is. Okay, so it's dragged down the current tasks, and that's just using a JSON request. Nothing SignalR has happened yet, but it's just about to. So I'm loading up the same web app that I had before, going to my TechEd tasks, and refresh that just to reset the state. Yep, go in here. So now when I drag these across, it should... No, not dragging. What am I doing? I'm updating the description. So when I update the description, it should update in Excel. There we go. I mean, yeah, that's... So just zoom in so you can sort of see it. Hello, Excel. That's right. That's what I'm saying, right? If you can work in Excel, this stuff can work anywhere. And like I said at the start, it's just one of those technologies that just works. Okay, so we can even update Excel. Do we see that? And it updates over on the website, right? Rapidly iterating my features here. I need to make a task board for this. Okay, but that's not good enough. We can do better than that. Okay, there's more interesting ways that we can use information. So I've got a little bit more commented code out here, so I didn't want to add everything in at once, just so we know what's going on. So now I'm interested in subscribing to the task moved event, and I've also added in listening to modifications from the column, like the descriptions from the column, but we're mainly interested in the task moved to a different column. Okay, so the same thing in the Excel workbook. I'm just going to paste in a little bit more advanced code, a few more if statements in Excel. Maybe not the nicest Excel add-in you've seen, but I'm sure we can refactor that. Okay, so now I should have the ability to update Excel whenever I drag and drop something on the web UI. So that's what I'm looking for. Here we go. So refresh that, reset the state. Okay, into TechEd tasks. I'm going to zoom in so we don't miss it this time. Pretty exciting. Okay. Here we go. So drag this across, and it's just updated the column. So the column it's in is now in doing. And now it's done. That's pretty cool. And if I update the description, I'm done. It certainly is. But now we're in Excel, right? So now we can pivot stuff, right? So we can do better. We can do good things now, right? This is where I'm saying, like, this is where my managerness is coming in, right? I'm not sure if that's a word yet. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to select these columns, and now I've got this information. Now I'm going to make a pivot table. Has anyone made one of those before? This is my first one. I'm going to make a pivot table. I didn't even know what that was till now. Okay, I've got a pivot table, and what I want it to do is I want it just to count the items that are in those particular columns, right? So now I've got a pivot table, then of course you can make charts from pivot tables. They go hand in hand, I found out. That's what the online help said. Okay, so now I've got a pie chart of all the tasks that are in each column. But because we're using SignalR, right, so I've got a very large team behind this, and when they drag their tasks across, it's going to update my pie chart in real time. Right? Manager of the year. I can see it now. Yeah. 100% done. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Very good. Very, very good. So, yeah, if that's not a pathway to management, I don't know what is. Cool. There we go. Into a rich client app. Cool. Let's switch back over. Cool. All right, I'm on the slides? Yep. Sure. Oh my. In Excel, oh my. But that's, I mean, you can see that you can use that real-time information in other ways, right? You're not just restricted to doing the same thing on other clients. In this case, you know, making sure my team is making good progress. Yep. Agile dashboard in Excel. Performance and scale, what does that story look like? Okay, so SignalR has really good throughput. So that's hundreds of thousands of messages per second. So it's got very low memory overhead because it's optimized for throughput and scale. And then on the scale side of it, it's fully async. So to optimize resource utilization, so that means it's not blocking any threads. It's only doing things when something needs to be done. Thousands of concurrent connections per server. And I believe from the session earlier today, is more like 50,000 connections per server. And supports horizontal scale out using a pluggable message bus backplane. So I thought I'd ask you guys, what do you think it supports, right? I could tell you. Who thinks it supports SQL Server? Come on, it's a Microsoft product. Okay. Windows Azure Service Bus. Yes. Zero MQ. No, not yet. Redis? Yes. Messaging ferrets. It's coming, mate, right? So for power outages, got the ferret over there. Could happen, you never know. How does it work? So what it does is it uses, I think I can go next, it uses the backplane as the source of truth. So you've got, you know, many clients connected to many servers. And one of the things that you can't do in SignalR is you can't just request a list of connected clients. And the reason why you can't do that is because the clients could be connected to many servers. So on one server in your app, you just can't say, give me all the clients, because it doesn't make sense. They could be connected to servers that have been scaled out horizontally. So the backplane becomes the source of truth. So when an event is raised, that message is sent straight to the backplane. Okay, that's the first thing it does. So it becomes the source of truth. And then from the backplane, the message is sent back to all the servers. for them to decide what to do with it. And then for, you know, all the clients where it makes sense, that message is then sent out to the clients. Does that make sense? Excellent. Okay, let's have a look at one of those backplanes. And I chose Redis. And I learned this morning at the previous demonstration that hippies use Redis. I'm not a hippie, I'm sure. Okay, let me just load that up. Not only hippies. Got that up. Okay. So this is not going to be complicated. The easiest way I found to install Redis is you don't need a VM, right? Has anyone heard of Chocolaty? So, yeah, like NuGet for apps, right? Is that a fair description? Yep. So you just go cinst Redis, and it'll download something that's compatible with Windows and install it as a Windows service. Yeah. So that's what I've done on this machine. And it's still working, right? So it doesn't kill it. So down the bottom, which you can't see, I'm installing the signalr.redis NuGet package. So that's going to add in support for the Redis as a backplane. Yep, so zooming in there. So apparently I've already installed it once, but that's okay. Installing it again, just to be certain. Okay, so how hard is it to make our web app use like the Redis pub sub stuff? Okay, so we go into the global ASAX and just check the references just to make sure. Yep, so signalr.redis is there. Always good to check. Sometimes I don't trust NuGet. All right, so all we need to do now is type in globalhost.configuration.dependencyresolver. So SignalR has its own dependency resolver. .useRedis. We can pass in a Redis scale-out configuration or, you know, just use the couple of various parameters. So Redis is on my local machine. I know that because I installed it. It's got a default port. And don't look at the password. Close your eyes. String.empty. And an event key. So I'm just going to say AgileR because that's the name of my killer new taskboard app. That's it. Install Redis, change one line, and run. So I've got, I'm going to refresh that. And what I'm going to do, just to show you that it is actually hitting Redis, because I'm just saying, oh, it's a Windows service. It's, trust me, man, it's happening, is I'm opening up the Redis client console window just so that we can make, you know, keep an eye on what's going on. So what I'm going to type in here is monitor. So what monitor does is it just reflects the current messages going to the Redis server out into the console. They say don't use for performance reasons, but we want to know what's going on. So when I drag things around, now you can sort of see that message hitting the Redis server. And if we had multiple servers that are subscribed to the Redis server, they'd also be getting that message off the backplane. I'm going to open up two windows. It's not two servers, but it's two windows, which I'm struggling with. It used to be like an arrange windows key. Okay, so even over here, still sending messages into Redis. And what we want to do is say type something. That would be more interesting. Yeah, so we can see what's going on. Yep, so still sending messages. And if we type something up in the top, you know, sort of sending those messages straight away. Definitely happening. Yeah. So that's it. They've made it really easy to sort of use that scale-out ability. If you use things like SQL Server, it's going to be a little bit more complicated, but not from the SignalR web app side, from the SQL Server configuration side. I said it's going to be the next killer app. It's not that killer app yet. It'll be an interesting experiment. So I actually had this guy all hosted in an Azure website. And my initial vision was I'm going to get everybody to get in there, and we're just going to have this really collaborative board. But you know, actually, in thinking about that, I'm like, maybe it's going to be a little bit too collaborative just to start out with. You know, let's start small. Next time, we're going to do it. I'm pretty sure of it. Next time I do this talk, we're going to do that. See what happens. it'll be fun. I'll work on the you know, the concurrency story. Make sure it's good. Somebody would win, I'm sure. Yes. What'd you say, sorry?
What's the default backplane?
Okay, what's the default backplane was the question. None. It's, yeah, single server only. Yep, that's right. So when you get to the point where you want to scale out, that's when you sort of add that line in, and you got multiple servers talking to the backplane. So we need to get that message to all servers so it can message all the clients, which is the point. Yep, cool. What's next? Sorry, you're on your own. No, actually, I'm surprised this image didn't get taken out. So what do we do next? Well, let's have a look. Further watching. So if you want to learn more about SignalR, which I hope you do, because I don't know, it's a technology that really excites me, and I really like to learn about it. Why is that coming like that? So there's a whole bunch of really good talks on Channel 9, a whole bunch by Damian Edwards, who is... I think he's part of the SignalR team. Building real-time web apps with SignalR. You can take pictures, there's three. Or you can grab the slides, I guess, when they're available. And there's also, I believe, an entire Pluralsight course on an introduction to ASP.NET SignalR. So there's a whole bunch of resources that you can watch to further your SignalR awesomeness. Takeaways. So what can you take away? How to get started with SignalR. I think we've smashed that. Adding SignalR real-time updates to an existing application. So I wrote an application without any knowledge of SignalR, and then I've kind of added SignalR in later. Of course, you know, I've used, you know, client-side messaging, but as long as you're okay with the idea of that little bit of separation and structure in the apps to raise those interesting events, you can basically extend the app you know, in a way that makes sense, and I think we should be writing web apps that way anyway, right? With the separation of concerns. And we've talked about SignalR performance, which is good, right? And when you get stuck, you just scale out, right? Just throw hardware at it. Oh, wait, no. Anyway. And some advanced scenarios. I'm calling Excel advanced. It seemed confusing to me. If you want to get the source code, so you want to fork my awesome Agile dashboard, you can go to my GitHub account, so github.com/BrennanCotz/AgileR. And if you've got questions, because it does make sense, then you can hit me up on Twitter or email me, and I'll try to point you in the right direction. Related content, if you want to see me talk again, I'll be doing a cross-platform mobile web development in the morning, not too early. I think it's second session. Should be good. And if you fill out your evaluations, well, you could win a Sculpt mouse. Hang on, we're flicking through these. Resources. And thank you all very much for coming.